To the center. Miss Althea, yeah, come on. Can you please make room for them? Hallelujah. Yeah. I want everybody to be together. We love you. You're family now. Amen. Amen. I just have a couple of announcements just for you this particular Sunday morning. At 1 p.m., we have our core meeting. For those of you and as well as the trainees, you need to make sure that you're in attendance this afternoon at 1 p.m. We're just going to have a meeting to continue to calibrate this ministry as we go forward into 2018 and beyond. 1 p.m. today. Also, Monday, April 9th is our last session at 7 p.m. called I'm Saved, Now What? The classes will be continuing on that particular day as well as concluding on that particular day, after which we will be baptizing. I'm still working on a location for a baptism service on that particular day. We do not have one in this particular place as of yet, but I'm praying that somebody will sow a seed so that we can actually get a portable baptismal pool so that we can actually do that inside of the sanctuary. But for right now, we're actually looking for one. So if you got a pool in your backyard, all right, that doesn't have pond scum in it or algae, or back where I come from, we had pools in the neighborhood. It was just green. And I said, baby, that's just where all of the animals just go to drink. That's it. You don't get in that. So if you have a clean pool, or if you know someone, you have an apartment complex that we could use, just drop me a note, because we want to baptize our young people that have given their lives to the Lord, as well as any others that want to rededicate themselves to the Lord. All right. Take me to the wall. Y'all remember that? To be baptized. So that's what we're going to do on that particular day. So that will be forthcoming. Also on Sunday, April the 15th, immediately after service, Pastoral Care presents Wings and Things, which includes wings, fries, and a drink for only $7. Flavors include barbecue, garlic parmesan, honey mustard, and mild. Make sure that you see Sister Takara, who's our food services manager, to place your pre-order, all right? Your pre-order. Also on Saturday, April the 21st, at 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., the Castleberry Chamber of Commerce presents its annual kickball tournament at Castleberry Elementary. The reason why I'm laughing at that is because we will be participating in that event, but they always pick on me about what happened the last time that we came. So if you want to find out what that inside joke is, make sure that you come on out and you can see what we're doing. It's basically to raise money and also to support the city of Castleberry as well as the Castleberry Elementary School. We'll be playing against several different teams and several different churches around the city. Also, after that, I have a quick little announcement. This is a great announcement. I love my wife for coming up with this wonderful idea. But in regards to our Mother's Day retreat, in lieu of that, we are having a Mother's Day weekend giveaway. Amen. A weekend giveaway. You see that nice little photo right there? Ooh, ee-ba-ba. Look at that. You can make children there. You can get away from your husband there, your wife. Oh, I'm just saying. All right, I'm just saying. But anyway, we're giving it away. It is for free. And so during the next month, or during the month of April, we'll be starting counts. We'll be starting counts starting next Sunday. Does that make sense? Started today. Oh, my. All right. Well, bless God. Starting today, because we made the announcement online. So starting today, any mother who brings the most people to church, including excluding children, because y'all know y'all bring like 400 children, excluding children and past guests, will win a weekend stay at a three-bedroom, three-bathroom resort here in Orlando. I'm not talking about no bootleg, no Days Inn, no disrespect to Days Inn, where you got rooms next to each other. No. I'm talking about in one particular suite, and it will be on a property that looks just like that, all right? So you can go on out for that. So if you are serious, see, what we are doing right now is that, and it kind of leads into my message for today, but what we want to do is that we want our people to be outward focused. Outward focus. So if you want, amen, a nice time away without having to come out of any money out of your pocket, and you can relax and enjoy the pools and the nice atmosphere and things of that nature, we are going to put a nice little delicious carrot right before you. All right? A delicious carrot, a scrumptious carrot. Don't worry about it. Okay, I don't even know if we could go anywhere this year. Well, here you go. Here you go. So it looked like somebody bowed it. So that little hood just came out just like this little second. So if you are about it and you are ready to go, the tally starts today. Make sure that your guests complete a welcome card. And watch this. We're going to put the tally on the board. So if somebody bring like 15 people, they'd be like, well, you might as well just give it to me right now. Then that's what we're going to do. All right. And this will be an ongoing thing. My son, Andre, and some of his crew, we're going to spread this to mothers and fathers and as well as the children throughout the year, because I want our people to believe that we have no problem investing in them as long as they go out and grab people for the kingdom. So we provide incentives for that. So one of the ideas that my son gave me was a $99, game pack for Fortnite. Some of y'all are like, was that JT that said something? Yes. Oh, Lord. So if you bring all of your friends from school or something like that, and you just pack them up on the side, talk about this, then you can have the nice, wonderful Fortnite package I'll come from out of my own pocket and make sure that you have your credit so that you can just tell everybody, look at me, I'm balling online. All right? So that's another thing that we're going to do. And as far as the men are concerned, we're thinking about something incentive for you, maybe a courtside seat to an Orlando Magic game. I'm talking about when the seats are about this cushion. That's how cushioned they are. All right, that's from the bottom to the top, and then the back is like this. And you can just see people just walking by. We're thinking about something like that later on in the year. So these are little things that we want to do to stimulate the people of God to go out and win souls. Last but not least, the Snack Shack will be open today. Make sure that you stop by the Empower Center for your hot food and cold beverages right next door. We also want to acknowledge our first-time guests. If this is the first time that you have seen myself or have been brought to this particular church, just raise your hand so I can say hello to you. Amen. Good evening. God bless you. God keep you. Welcome. My brother, I remember you already. God bless you. God bless you, each and every one of you. We would like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. It is an honor for me to serve you, as well as the Divine Truth family to serve you on this particular day. So hold on to your hats. We're coming to one of the best parts of the service, which I believe is giving. Amen. Did you know that when you sow into this ministry, it's not only a blessing that you could get for yourself, that's part of it, but we are a funnel to this community, amen, because of your gifts that has allowed for me to be able to make different types of connections and other different types of things that's going on in the city. Soon I'll be sworn in as the chaplain, one of the chaplains for the city of Castleberry. So we're directly trying to affect some things, some of the things that you've seen in the news. We're trying different approaches, and so that's one of the things. And also, because of your giving, it also allows for me to be able to focus on finishing up school for my doctorate in theological studies. Hopefully I'll be finished this summer, y'all. Not only that, we're also going to be launching our quote-unquote daycare, hopefully this particular year, so that we could serve the community and the children in a Christian-based environment. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So these are things that we're doing. The paperwork is there. This is not just like ideas. It's not a babysitting service. No. This is a curriculum. It's a curriculum. It's called Truth Learning Academy. These are not ideas. These are things that will come to fruition so that we can have people that will serve one another and also love and raise our children in the admonition of the Lord, as well as learn and be disciplined. Amen, somebody. See, I'm not on the board or anything like that, but let's just say I'm the principal de facto. All right? So if you don't, okay, I don't want to even mess with that. So those are some of the few things that we're doing so far. So your gifts are things that not only help this particular house, but it's also reaching out into the community, and we could do much more. For those of you that are watching online on this particular morning, good morning to you. You can also give as well by going to our website at www.divinetruthcc.org. Also, if you're inside of the sanctuary and you don't have anything on you, you can go to the same website and give from your mobile device and sow a seed that particular way as well. Finally, we have a kiosk in the back, so if you have your card, you can use that. We have our Deacon Penn, raise your hand, as well as Sister Jacqueline that's in the back as well. She has the bucket the old school way, all right? All right, you put something in, don't take anything out. Father, thank you for this time. got bills to pay. Father, thank you for this time. We honor you and we bless your holy name. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. God loves a cheerful giver. Be blessed.
The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid?
say that one more time.
Said I will remain.
I will remain.
Amen. All right. I like that. Amen. You could charge hell with a water pistol on that song right there, boy. All right. I will remain confident in this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord. Amen. 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 It's time for the word this morning. May I preach God's word with all that I have every time I grace this pulpit, regardless how I feel, what the message is about, or who is in attendance. Lord God, we thank you, we honor you, and we bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. May this word that goes forward on this particular Sunday morning, Lord God, touch these, your people. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. In this morning's scripture, we'll be going to Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And it goes as follows. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Before I Let You Go. Before I Let You Go. The news of Jesus' resurrection had a ripple effect that reached the gates of heaven and the depths of hell. Physically, he was no longer in the tomb. Spiritually, he had all power in his hands. Mentally, his focus was to now make several appearances to his disciple over the next 40 days. That's the in-between period that happened after Jesus rose on the cross. 50 days later is when the Feast of Pentecost, when the tongues of a fire have been lit up in the upper room, where the birth of the church as regards to the Holy Spirit, the thing that they were most waiting for, came about. So in that 40-day period, Jesus was focusing on a mandate. He was focusing on a mission. His intent was to impress upon his disciples the importance of sharing the good news. What is the good news? The gospel of Jesus Christ. This mandate or mission, coupled with activity, is famously known as the Great Commission, which is a set of instructions given to the disciples, as well as those that are saved, not to just bring someone to church, but to share the gospel and teach them how to live in the kingdom of God. To be clear, the kingdom of God is not the same thing as the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is God's throne room. That is a place where the angels dwell. That's where the patriarchs and the matriarchs of the faith are, even to this particular day, until the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is up there. That is not here. For those of you that remain and that are here on this earth realm that are saved, you have been ushered into the kingdom of God, merely God's way of doing things. And we're to teach people how to live. Practical application, life application, spiritual application, apologetically speaking, teaching people what they believe and letting them know not only what they believe, but why they should believe it. Very important. For example, have you ever given a child, a friend, a spouse, or someone you trust a certain set of instructions before they left to go to school, to college, to work, or out for a good time? When my wife and I went out last night to see, to actually go to a little bit of a parade, it got rained out, so we did some other things at Universal Studios. And so what I did when it came to my two children that are older now, I basically gave them a set of instructions. Make sure that you don't kill your brother. Make sure that y'all don't call 911 just because you took a snack cake out of the thing. Make sure that y'all turn the oven off after, you know, different certain types of instructions, because I want to come home to a house that is intact with children that are intact, right? Just instructions. I remember my parents giving me instructions before they sent me off to Florida A&M University, the place of Seven Hills. They said, Andre, make sure that your arm does not fall off if you talk to a girl. To this day, I didn't know what daddy meant. All right, I guess that didn't go over too well. So these were certain types of instructions. You have some of the instructions that you understand, some instructions that are a little bit enigmatic and kind of confusing, but nevertheless, you can kind of relate to them, because Jesus did the same for all those who are saved. So before I let you go today, somebody heard two things. They heard Blackstreet. Boy, I tell you, my church people, I just know y'all like the back of my hand. Half of y'all heard Blackstreet. Before I let you go, can I give a good night, baby? Half of y'all heard that. And then the old heads in here said, heard, before I let you go. Yeah, you heard that too. Well, whatever one that you want to use, it is saying the same thing in its proper context. In other words, I want to give you something, or I want to let you know about something before you leave my presence. All right? So I want to reemphasize the words of Jesus as stated in the opening scripture. This way we can gather others into the house of the Lord and encourage one another to, watch this, love God, love people, be loyal to godly leadership and to the Father, and stay disciplined in the faith. Amen. So you could kind of lend your ear and say that this is an inside message, so that your inside will want to go outside to bring people inside. Okay, you'll get it. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 17, just a simple message. It says this. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek, for those that are up under the old covenant by blood, and those that are up under the new covenant, the Gentile, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So if you want to be able to live properly in this lifetime, you can't just live like hell and want to go to heaven anyway. You have to live according to the word of the Lord. Amen. You can't say that you are a Christian and then live like you aren't one. Amen. And expect for God's blessing to be upon it. I was debating someone last night. I told my wife, I said, this week I've been polemic. Polemic is when you challenge somebody else's ideology, their doctrines, and certain things that are false. It's a discipline within the apologetic circle of Christianity, to where somebody asserts something towards your faith and you provide evidence and primary sources to combat against theirs, because there's many false doctrines, many false teachers, many false teaching that is going on out there. And so that is a methodology of saying that is wrong and this is why. That is wrong and this is why. So when we come to the part that we're talking about right now as it relates to our faith, we not only need to just go out there and just be polemic and say, okay, this is what you should believe, but we need to demonstrate it in our own lives. So far too long, as people of faith, we promote the great omission instead of the great commission. Amen. The reality is, after we found a good church or have gotten saved, we become silent and content with a personal Jesus. Have you ever heard the phrase, now that I'm saved, I just want to make sure that I have a good personal relationship with Jesus Christ? But we have taken it so personal until no one knows that we love God. Amen. No one knows. How come no one knows what you believe in? Are you ashamed? It's just like the song that Beyonce said a long time ago. Say my name, when no one else is around you, baby, I love you, but you are running game. Say my name, why you being shady? You saying, baby, you are running game. I know I butchered all them words. Yeah, I know. That's what happens when you get older. But anyway, the truth of the matter is that that song was basically saying, babe, how come you are so lovey-dovey with me behind closed doors with no clothes on, but then when I get out there, you don't know me? You want to be transparent with me behind closed door, but then you don't want to claim me in front of everybody else? You hold my hand behind closed doors, but then we walk it through the mall. You just walk it by yourself, fooling people into thinking that that's your sister or your female friend. Okay, all right, now I'm stopping meddling now. The truth of the matter is that we oftentimes treat Jesus the same way. We are great Christians online, but not always great Christians in the public square. Amen. You don't have to push your faith on anyone else. So I'm not saying you have to be dogmatic or religious or, you know, if you don't come to church, you're going to hell. I'm not saying that. That is an extreme. Matter of fact, that's not what Jesus said. He was saying, look for those that are saved but don't have a place to eat, to feed. The reality, once again, is that after we have found a comfortable place, we stay silent. But in Scripture, we have several places where Jesus wants those that love and follow him to be fruitful and multiply. As it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, did you know that Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 was the edict or the first mandate to go out that God gave? He gave them to two people, Adam and Eve. So the first man, Adam, had a set of instructions, but he lost his focus, and as a result, Adam and Eve, while they still did a part of what God said, they reproduced and became fruitful and multiplied in the flesh versus the spirit. So that's why we have sin today. Sin entered into the garden through Adam and Eve's choice to disobey God. And now those of us that are in this earth realm have to battle with something on the inside of us constantly until this very day. Even those of us that are saved, you battle against sin. But through one man's disobedience and unrighteousness, the second man, Adam, being Jesus Christ, through his obedience, total obedience, and through his righteousness, we now can stand boldly before the throne of grace, unashamed, because Jesus was not ashamed of us. If we understand that we can fulfill what God originally said from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, which is to be fruitful and multiply, to dominate over the fish of the sea, the fowls of the air, over every creeping thing. God wants us to do that right now. And I'm not talking about dominion theology where Christians just take over the whole planet. That's not our job. I'm talking about just following simple instructions, which is to share the love, ironically, with Jesus Christ. So I gave you the description of what polemic is. Ironic is not you attacking people and telling them, you got to, you must, you have to, you got to follow God, you got to do the things of God. No, being ironic is just sharing the love of Jesus gently. And I'm going to give you a strategy that you could take home with you, put in your pocket for later, and you can use it and watch the fruit that will come as a result. So there's a couple of ways that we connect to this particular commission, if you will. Number one, John 14, verse 12 through 15 says, truly, truly, this is the words of Jesus, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Stop right there. So if you believe God and you love God and you love the work that was done through the Son, Jesus Christ, then you will have no problem, or you should have no problem, doing those things as well. The latter part of the verse says, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Now, let's not misunderstand that particular statement. Just because Jesus has told us that through his word that we will do greater works doesn't mean that you're going to do more miracles than him. That's not what it's talking about. That's the improper context. The proper context, people of God, is that you're going to have to work harder in order to get souls because of the love of many will wax cold in our particular day and time. There's someone in the back door, ma'am. Thank you. Y'all keep an eye on the back door, please. So the truth of the matter is that we can't just rest on our laurels. No, not at all. We have to work harder. I was talking to a great theologian just the other day, an elder of the faith, Yale Divinity School. He was telling me to read all different types of books like Aristotle's Politics and all of this complicated stuff that had an influence in the Bible. And he basically challenged me in so many words to really go deeper into the things of God. Because in this moment in time, in the day and time that we live in, we do have a lot of tremendous distractions. A tremendous amount of distractions. Amen. People's attention is everywhere else. I said, and he was around the era of Martin Luther King. Okay. And we were discussing some of the things that was going on during that particular time period as compared to our current time period. And so we began to have this thing in our mind like, okay, God, people have a mindset that is totally different than it was from before. How are we as the people of God going to get people to get interested in God again, especially when there's been church hurt, especially when there's been ignorance and tradition and religion, especially when we have the internet and YouTube University where people get certificates on a regular basis because they Google something and now they believe that they are an expert? I heard somebody just yesterday, a young little child, talking about some, I've been through good days and bad days and I won't complain. How in the ham fat are you going to have good days and bad days and you barely out of diapers and you still got breath that smells like Similac and, you know, all this other time. And you got good and bad days, you won't complain. No doubt that people go through a lot, but my goodness. But yet and still, the truth of the matter is that people are still dealing with that type of pain. People are still dealing with issues. So there's a lot of work to be done. But nevertheless, because God is with us, we can do it. Verse 13 says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, if you're wondering what style of preaching this is called expositional preaching, which is we look at the verse and we learn from the verse in its proper context. We don't want to read into the text. We want the text to tell us exactly what it is supposed to say to us. And so in that particular verse of scripture, it's basically saying, okay, people of God, if you ask me, I'll do it for you. As long as it's in my will. You got that? It's not in your will. It's not in God's will for you to tear up everybody at the office because you didn't get the promotion. So you can't pray to God, God, kill everybody at my job because they tripping. That's not in the will of God. All right. That seems kind of obvious, isn't it? But on a fundamental level, that's what we do in many cases. On a surface level, what we should think about is, okay, well, God, what is the will that you want for my life? What do you really want me to do in this earth realm? Part of it is discovered when you read through the scriptures. Amen. You don't have to wait for a lightning bolt out of heaven to tell you that you need to be godly and love one another, do you? You don't need that. But when you read the scriptures, you see it right there, and then you should express it. And then the scriptures tell you how you should express it through the fruit of the Spirit. Loving one another, being patient, being kind, being teachable. You have to listen. You have to learn. You have to be willing to share. You can't just focus on self. A person that focuses on themselves is going to have an empty funeral. Verse 14. That was a bomb right there. Might as well keep on going. Verse 14, if you ask me anything in my name that is in my will, I will do it. It's kind of like having a series of options. If I have 14 or 15 or 16 different options, those are in the will of God. If you pick one of those, then you're on your way. But what we like to do is we like to pick option 17. Option 17 is our will. We want to do it our way. And then when things get messed up, then we ask God, God, can you fix number 17 for us? So we try to fit what our will is into the will of God, and then it ends up falling fast on its face. Amen. Amen. And I love the last one. If you love me, Christian folk, you will keep my commandments. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? If you love me, you'll do exactly what I tell you to do. So why do we do the opposite? If I love you, shouldn't I have my ear closer and listen to you a little bit more? It sounds simple. So our faith connection to the commission is through those particular words. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you believe that he came, died, and was buried and rose again on the third day, then that connection should be strong. The next area is the commission is connected to power. So you can't just have faith and then don't do nothing. You could believe, but if you don't have any power behind you, then you could be believing for a long time and nothing will happen. So let's look at John chapter 20, verse 19 through 22. John chapter 20, verse 19 through 22 in the NASB verse, it says, so when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Underline that part right there. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. We're on a mission. We're on a mission to save souls. We're on a mission to reach out to the lost. We're on the mission to go into the highways and the byways and the hedges, into the projects, into the suburbs. Hey, suburban people, those of you that have the nice 401k or 401b with your exotic self that had a little bit of tremor because of what Donald Trump said about tariffs this past week, your mission is still the same. The mission is the same regardless of your socioeconomic status, regardless of your color, regardless of your political persuasion. I was telling somebody just the other day that we as Christians, especially as Christian pastors, should not lean to the left or to the right. Jesus is our hermeneutic. Okay. Jesus is our hermeneutic. We don't have a Democratic hermeneutic or a Republican hermeneutic. And I'll tell you what that word hermeneutic means. Young man, can you please come in and sit down for a second? Thank you. Yes, you. Yes, thank you. So we have a hermeneutic. Hermeneutic is how you interpret the text. How many of you have heard some type of pastor, some type of preacher that will take the scriptures to fit a political agenda? Okay. Some pastors take conservatism and they look through that particular secular lens, and then that's how they see the world through Jesus' eyes. Jesus must have been a Republican. And then you have half of the folk that are upset at that particular dynamic. But then you have the other side that says Jesus must have been a liberal, a long-haired, long-beard, hippie liberal. And therefore, that's how I see the scriptures. You know, the least of these. But you can give to the poor and still live like hell anyway, because there's no standard. So what are we as Christians to do? We should follow the scriptures, which does not lead to man's system. So Jesus is our hermeneutic. In other words, hermeneutic is the way that you read and understand the scriptures. Not through a man-made lens, but through God-made lens. That way, you can upset everybody. That's just me being facetious. In truth, you'll be able to speak to everybody, because you're going beyond something that is very temporary. So Jesus said, peace be with you. The Father has sent me, I also send you. But here's the part that I want to emphasize. Verse 22 says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's like a cosmic
breath mint that came out at that moment in time. But we've seen this before. For those of you that have done any level of scripture, have been in church any amount of time in your life, and you listen without going to sleep at least for 20 minutes, you may have heard about the creation of mankind. You know the creation where God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And then I will take the dust of the ground and I will breathe into man's nostrils and I will make him a living soul." So it was the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, the breath of God, that went into man's nostrils and brought him to life at the very beginning. But then it was sin that knocked the wind out of him. And then mankind began to do things in the flesh. But then when Jesus rose again and he came with his disciples, the 12, as well as others, he said, "You know what? Because the wind was knocked out of you the first time due to sin, you sinners can have some wind in you again." Okay. In other words, I want the Holy Spirit to be sent to you so that you can be sent out to others. Wait until you have been endued with power from on high. Then you go and you do my work. You can't preach just because you saw somebody on TV doing this. You can't teach. You can't teach just because they have a squall only. No. There are certain things that God has us go through an ancient process that gets us ready to be able to speak and preach and teach to others. How can you testify to someone the goodness of the Lord when you have been through no tests? How can you help somebody heal their scars when yours have not healed themselves? No scars, no battle scars. Will you, for those of you that have been in the military, would you listen to an E1 or a private as you're getting ready to go into battle or a large theater and he has no experience? No. You're going to look at the old man on the hill that has 5 stars on his shoulders and you're going to say, "Hey, I'm going to follow him because he's been through some things. He's lost some battles, but he's won some too." You don't want to just be around somebody who wins all the time. No, 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 no. That's doing you a disservice. No, God also wants you to be around people that know how to lose in a godly way. Amen. You win some, give glory to God. You lose some, give glory to God. The part where you lose some, we don't want to give glory to God because our emotions start getting into turmoil. Amen. The commission is also committed to a place, or connected to a place. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, I'm almost done. In preacher minutes. Y'all see that? Preacher minutes is when it's a little bit of text, but it takes a long time to explain it. The commission is connected to a place. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. Now, in Acts chapter 1, or the book of Acts, did you know that the book of Acts was written by the physician Luke? Okay. So Luke starts out and he says, "Oh, to my dear Theophilus," it's basically another disciple, and he begins to describe several different things that's going on at that moment in time. And then after he talks to Theophilus, or as he's uttering these words to Theophilus, one of the disciples that used to be along with Luke, or a physician's assistant, if you will, verse 4 says, "Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said," as it says in verse 4, "you've heard of me. For John baptized with water, but you will be," watch this, "baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So this is Acts chapter 1. This is, I would say, maybe the 48th or 49th day before the sound of Jubilee came, before the day of Pentecost. Remember, when Jesus rose from the cross or rose from the dead, that was after 3 days. But then there was a 40-day period that he appeared in the Spirit, letting people know, "Before I let you go, these are the things that you need to do."
He appeared throughout the city. He let people know that these are the things that you need to do in order to win souls to Jesus Christ. Because there's a lot of people out there that celebrate Cardi B, but their souls are being destroyed. There's a lot of people whose minds are offset. You saw what I did there? Yeah. Oh, now y'all looking up now. Okay, all right. Welcome to Divine Truth Christian Center. God wants your dreams and visions realized. The only thing that I cannot relate to is man's not hot. So somebody after service, please explain to me what man's not hot is. That's some new song that the young people have today. All right. But there's a thing that we have to do as believers in order to have some type of power in order for us to be able to reach the lost. Sheep. Let me give you another teaching point. This is something that my bishop told me many moons ago. He said, don't go out and bring people who are not saved to church. I mean, you can, but that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to go out into the highways and byways and bring people who are lost sheep. My sheep know my voice. A stranger they will not follow. You get that? So it doesn't matter if they've never been to church before, they could still be the sheep of God. You just have to share the gospel and be like, okay, tatted up, smoked up and everything. I'm feeling what you're saying. I'll come with you. That's a sheep. But the ones that be like, man, I ain't going there. I'm good. You've been inviting them for 5 years and they still say that I'm good. They're not saved. They will not follow the strange voice of Jesus. You see that? My sheep is what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice because I'm the good shepherd. A stranger, they will not follow. Not follow forever. They'll feel out of place. I always wonder why when I go through school or when I go through high school or when I walk through the corridors of my business, I always feel strange. I always feel like I'm having a out-of-body experience. I always feel so different. I can't do what everybody else does. I try to be the bad boy, I try to be the bad girl, but everybody consistently tells me you're different. Lost sheep. So those are the individuals that we bring, no matter where they are. They may be a person that went through church hurt. Do you know what church hurt is? The building didn't hurt anybody. It's the people that may be inside of the building that hurt the individual. So if you happen to be one of those individuals today was hurt by somebody inside of a building that claimed to be a Christian, but they were not, my prayer for you is that you heal, put yourself together, lace it up, and let's go out and win some more. Amen. I'm like a medic on the battlefield. You have no time to cry and just stay at home. We're still out here in a fight, and I have to patch you up. I have to preach to your pain. I have to teach you some things because somebody may be able to come closer to the Lord because they've seen your battle scars. Amen. Nobody can see your battle scars at home. Amen. We need some power. Verse 6 says, repeating, so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. So let me pause right there because some people get kind of glassy. What are you talking about, Pastor? Where does that context come from? Well, the truth of the matter is that Jesus is talking to a disciple. And a disciple, through hearing the words of Jesus, is getting kind of confused. Jesus, and I'm putting it in plain speak here. Jesus, are you talking about the past or are you talking about the future? Because as a disciple, I'm Jewish or I'm Hebrew. So when I read the Old Testament scriptures, I'm thinking about the time when the Lord will come and he will restore all of Israel back to God. Is that time as of yet? And Jesus was like, it's not for you to know. Because sometimes if you tell somebody that the man is going to be there on Monday, they don't show up. That's why you should always be ready. Ready when Jesus comes. I want to be ready, ready when Jesus comes. But how do you get ready? You get into his word and you stay close to other people that are in ready position. Ready? Everybody else ready? Everybody ready? It's like when I used to play football. Everybody, like, everybody ready? 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 And we saw, I don't know, sometimes a girl like, y'all ready? I put my hands up high, my feet down low, and that's the way we jiggle. Jiggle, jiggle. And everybody be like, ready? Ready? Some people are like, jiggle, what are you talking about? I don't even know. Jiggle, Tony. Tampa Tony got out of jail this week, by the way. So everybody is in ready position. When you're ready, you could take anything that comes your way. And when you're ready as a group, you could take even more that comes your way. So verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epoch which the Father has fixed in by his own authority. In other words, mind your own business. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come up on you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. Hold up, wait a minute. Right here is something that you need to understand about the commission being connected to a place. That last verse, verse 8, let's look at it a little bit closer. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be different. You'll be anointed. And you shall be my witnesses. Lady Martin, can I use you as an example for a second? All right. So, Lady Martin got this nice little note in the mail that said, you have jury duty. And her letter was between what number? It was like HMN. Everybody, yours was 06. So she was telling me, she was like, I don't know if I want to be a witness in this particular situation. So what ended up happening was is that she got another notification saying that she no longer had to be a witness. Now I basically said that to say this. Number one, she got out of jury duty. Hey, glory, all right. But the lesson that is underneath that is that the judge needed some witnesses, but they needed good witnesses. You get what I'm saying? Good witnesses, because somebody was getting ready to go through a trial. You see that? So when we see people go through trials and tests in their life, we have to be good witnesses of the great judge of all heaven and an earth, right? Right. You understand that? So that way we can allow, or we can tell the person or help the person understand what they're going through. That God does not hate you. God is not punishing you. You may have put yourself into this particular situation, but because God is with you, yes. Let me show you how to go to the text, how to get into the word of God so you can discover the way of escape. Let me put your trouble in the proper context. You're going through a trial. Daddy's not coming home anymore. You're going through a situation. Or you have a friend that's daddy said, Dad, I'm not coming home anymore. And you happen to be that friend that's sitting at the lunch table. You have that coworker that's sitting inside of that cubicle. And now they pour their life out to you. You have Kleenex and you're just taking them all up. And you say, oh, it's all right, baby, it's all right. Can I talk to you during my lunch break? He's not coming home anymore. And there's something on the inside of you helps her to put the trial in the proper context. What you don't say is you need more Jesus. Amen. That's not what you say. You don't say, well, he's going to hell. That's not what you say either. You don't say, bump him, girl, bump him. You don't say that either. Because sometimes we hook up with people that are going through the same thing we are going through, and both of us are not healed. Mm-hmm. And typically when two people have open wounds, they can infect each other. So if a person's going through something, you as the witness of God, you sit there and you talk to them and you bring peace to them, bring peace to their mind. You just sit there with them. You may not even have been able to even relate to it, but there's something on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit knows how to reach out to people when your words are at a loss. Just sit here and don't say anything. And you could be ministering to them right at that particular hour. So in the text right here, we see a couple of things. Number one, It says, and you shall be my witnesses. We understand that, right? But it says, both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. So from all my new saved folk, take care of Jerusalem. What does Jerusalem represent? It represents your house. So before you go to the nations, with your no passport, heaven self. And before you label your ministry an international ministry of XYZ, LMNOP, you got to take care of your house. If your house ain't straight, you can't be straight with anybody else. Because a man or woman's first ministry is their household. All right. Well, so you got to take care of your house first. But let's say everything is all hunky-dory. Can I use that word? So everything's all hunky-dory and everything is, you know, as my mom would say, ace boom coon and all this other stuff like that. I don't even know what that means. I'm going to ask her when I go visit her a little bit later on. So everything's fine, everything's cool, and everything's all together, and things at the house are stable. Then you, as the scripture says, go to Judea. Judea is basically your neighborhood or your immediate area. So if you want to talk to people about the Lord, you need to be a good neighbor. State Farm? No. You are there. You could just be a good neighbor. All right. I know you haven't spoke to Sheila and them across the street in a long time, but you don't know if Sheila's getting busted in the head by Mister. So maybe, just maybe, it's okay for you when you see Sheila out in the front of the yard picking flowers that you go across and you say, how you doing? I love you and I'm praying for you. And that's it. And then she'll just look at you kind of strange. Haven't seen any Christians that do stuff like that before. And then maybe a couple of days later be like, would you like to go for a walk with me? And then she tells you everything that's going on. And then you have a ministry just to one person. And sometimes God measures your qualifications the same way that your boss man or boss lady measures qualifications. They see how you are faithful over a few things. Then you can have much. If you're faithful over your family, then you could deal with your neighbors. If you could deal with your neighbors, then you can go to the city. The city, as it represents here in scripture, is Samaria. Samaria is the entire region or the city. So God, if I use my own life as an example, wanted me to be faithful with my family, with my wife. Before I became a pastor, I was married for 10 years first. I didn't become a pastor at the same time that I got married because I was crazy. And so God had to take me through a processing period of 10 years to push out all of that foolishness. Then I could go ahead and have a little bit of something to say to some people. All right. People are starting to listen to me now. I'm past 40 now. So now folk are listening to me just a little bit more. Because people want to know if you have gone through something. They want to see if you have lost with flying colors as well as win with flying colors. You see that? So then after Jesus, or after the Lord saw me faithful over my family, he says, I'm going to give you a few folk. I'm going to give you a couple of people in Maitland Civic Center, just two or three people, and see if you could be faithful over that. For 5 months, we had two or three people. And those two or three people were my kids and my sister-in-law and a husband waiting in the wings. That was it. But because we were faithful over that, then God says, all right, it's time for you to expand even more. Let's go through the city. And so now here we are here in Castleberry, and now the people, the city, I was telling somebody the other day, now the mayor wants me to do ballroom dancing with her. All right? And I did go ballroom dancing with her. I'm like, I really don't want to do this. I feel so out of place. But since I was asked, I might as well, because when people can see you and they can trust you and they see you as a resource, then you have influence over them. So if I need something to be done in the city, then guess what? Samaria has been taken care of, because Judea has been taken care of, because Jerusalem has been taken care of. So you Christian person, if you're single, you need to take care of yourself. If your life is in a shambles right now, then you need to be around some folk that can help you stabilize yourself. But you have to listen. If you have a small little unit or a little family, then you need to feed each other the word of the Lord. That's how you can get it together. And then after you get that together and you get things stabilized, then you can start influencing your family and your friends. See, let me give you a secret. If folk know that you off the chain, it's hard for you to bring anybody to church. Man, walls, it's this thing.
Put a glass to the head. Lord.
The old preachers say, amen, walls, amen, life. If folk say that you are saved and you still act like 4 years ago, how are you going to bring anybody with you? Because if you acting like hell and they acting like hell at the same time, what are you doing? In other words, darkness can't bring out darkness. Only light can do that. So your good life, you know what works? When everybody in the neighborhood knows that you've been off the chain for a long time, kicking the door, waving the 4-4. You come to the house, I'm buzzing you in your head, I'm buzzing windows out of your car. Everybody knows that about you. But then when you get saved, if they see your life starting to change, then there's more credibility. Then you don't do everything that everybody else does. Then you become a better witness so that that person who's in the gutter, that remembers when you were in the gutter, being that they're still there, if they saw you get out, then you give them hope that they can come out. All because of the testimony in your life. That's what I'm talking about. And then even to the even remotest parts of the earth, that's when your ministry, quote unquote, goes international. You can't go international on Facebook. All right, let me go ahead and go to conclusion. The commission is connected to a command. I want to, but God said no. I ain't gonna say that. God said no. Matthew 28, come on. Matthew 28, give me some piano chords, all right. Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20 says the following. It says, but the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, and this is the opening verse of scripture this morning, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, and some were doubtful. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. There, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I am commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What that is called is the commission being connected to a command. So as a church body, and this is like one of the first times I've done it in a while, I want everybody who is saved in here to understand that you need to be more obedient in this particular area. Amen. Amen. That's why we have a contest that says the mother that brings the most people to church, you get a weekend off. And the weekend is not just for the own personal enjoyment. It's because we know there's going to be work and you might need to rest from your labors that weekend. Amen. And we're going to have other opportunities. Okay. I don't know if we're going to do Lonzo Ball's shoes, but we may give away some, you know, two pairs of Jordans, gold plated Jordans, if you bring a whole bunch of people to church. I'm just saying. And I'm talking about people who already know Jesus. I'm not saying to the public, if you come to church, I'm going to give you $500. No. I'm talking about people who are already saved. I want to bless those individuals that are already saved so that when the people come, they'll know why they are coming. You see the difference? Amen. I want people to be more obedient in regards to sharing the faith. So as I close, I'm going to give you some life application steps in order to be a better witness. So before I let you go this Sunday morning, I'm going to give you a couple of things, and it's four of them. Number one, when you're talking to somebody about Jesus, let me show you the real approach. Number one, do like Jesus by speaking peace. Speak peace. Bring peace to a situation. Don't bring chaos. This is what I mean. Stuff going crazy at the house, and you act crazy. Coming over there talking about stuff. Oh yeah, let's just tear up everything. And then you go to your clean house
and then that house is still all messed up. So you don't throw gasoline on the fire with your words. Does that make sense? If you're going through stuff at the house, or if people need to be married, or there's a split up in the house, or the children are kind of, you know, just going off because daddy or mama's, you know, they kind of having some issues, that's when you, as a good, credible resource, you come in and you speak peace to that situation. Maybe mom and daddy just need a date night and you take the kids just for a little while. You see? Speaking peace. In other words, be ironic, not polemic. You don't want to attack anybody. You want to show them the love of Jesus Christ. Just speaking peace. Number two is fellowship. It's kind of hard to deal with people when you don't know them. Okay. Newsflash. Even if you're an introvert, you want to know who an introvert is? I'm an introvert. But I've had to practice being more outward and be more forthcoming. You're a preacher, man. Y'all don't even understand. I do most of my talking when I'm up here. Any time outside of that, anybody who's close to me will let you know that my mouth is. And I like to revel in my own thoughts, even if there's nothing in there. But fellowship is necessary. Learning about people, getting along. You know what? Everybody that's sitting over here on your side, I want to get to know each and every one of you. Know each and every one of you. Now, man, that sounds kind of weird, but I actually want to do that. Especially my man in the back. You look like you could dunk on like 5-10 people over there. I'm talking to you in the blue, in the yellow. You know, you could put some paws on somebody. All right. You never know. Hey, when you go to the NBA or when you catch them balls, just remember Pastor Martin said, holla at your boy. All right. And he may not even be thinking about that at all, but maybe I'm speaking peace. Maybe I'm speaking life into him. And I also want to let you know, young man, that you are more than what you can do on any sports field as well. When you fellowship, you build trust, but don't judge. You get what I'm saying? Very important. When somebody's going through, you may not be able to prognosticate everything that's going on, especially if they didn't tell you everything. All right? Don't judge, but just be with them. Number three, meet felt needs. Let's say, for example, you're sitting at the dinner table. All right? Or y'all go out to Applebee's or Chili's. Shout out to China. And you're just sitting at the table. And you're talking with this particular person. You haven't invited them to church. You haven't spoken to them or anything like that. And you're just talking, you know, one-on-one. And then as you're talking, you talk about sports. You talk about vacationing. You talk about, you know, the crazy coworker that got the blonde streak going through their nostril and all this other type of stuff. And then all of a sudden, the person says, you know what? I really wish that I had a relationship like yours. But anyway, girl, don't even worry about it. Let me just go ahead and go on. Let's just go ahead and order the rest of this food and let's go ahead and just get on to the house. Now, out of everything that you heard, that one little piece stuck out to you. That's your opportunity. What? To minister to that individual, to meet their felt need. Now, how do you do it? Do you want to get in their business and start gossiping? No. What you do is that you sit with that person right before you leave and you say, sister girl, brother man, give me a hand. Let's pray. And then you start praying for that need. Lord God, restore their relationship. Lord God, bring peace into their home. Lord God, if there's some type of sickness that's going on inside that particular place, Lord God, bring peace to the situation. Bring clarity. Bring understanding, Heavenly Father. Lord God, everything that's in your will, let it be done. In Jesus' name, amen. The person may be crying. That person may have a dry eye. Nevertheless, you've met a felt need because you took the time out to listen, not just hear. That is a skill of compassion. And then finally, then you preach the gospel. What is the gospel? It is who Jesus is and what he came to do. Come on, everybody, look at me for a moment. The gospel is who Jesus is and what he came to do. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God. I believe that. I know that. Jesus is God. Because God is the only one who could forgive sins. We have trouble forgiving each other. We say crazy stuff like, I could forgive but not forget. With your grudge holding self. You'll hold a grudge for like 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Oh, Lord, you don't understand that holding a grudge is like you drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. You killing yourself. God just wanted me to I just threw that out there. Preaching the gospel or knowing who Jesus is and what he came, you have to know that he is God. And besides him, there is none other. And that his name is above every name. And if there's no one else you could call on the name of Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus that well, find somebody who does so they can teach you and show you, not only through word, but also through their life. But here's another thing. Don't expect perfection from the person that's telling you about Jesus. I'm a man, but I'm a flawed man. I have issues. So if you happen to see me in a weak moment, don't judge the wrong way. If I sinned, show me the sin. If you reason with me and let me know what's going on, then you have won a brother. Don't just toss me off to the side, and that goes for anybody, because we're all human. We all like to grade ourselves on the bell curve. I'm better in my own eyes than from somebody from the outside. No, no, no. Nobody in here is above reproach. Knowing who Jesus is. And then what he came to do. What did Jesus come to do? He came to win the lost. He came to win the loss. Isn't that right? I talk to the baby. Now, it may seem like I did that, but I have a purpose for talking to the baby. When I was talking to the baby, the baby's eyes are intently on me. We have to be like little children when it comes to the gospel. We have to be ready to receive. You may not understand everything, but as you go and as you grow, you begin to understand more and more, and then you'll be able to share with someone else. All right? All right. Put your hands together for the Lord. Before I let you go, I never, 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 ever, ever, ever. Yeah, before I let you go, come on, stand to your feet. It'd be like, Pastor Martin, I don't remember nothing, the whole message, but I remember you singing horribly at the close of the message, butchering that man's song. I'm trying to give you the gospel through Frankie Beverly and the May and Mays. So before I let you go, speak peace, fellowship with somebody, meet their felt needs, and then you share the gospel. If you don't know where to go in the Bible, go to John 3:16 and Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and park it right there. All right, park it right there. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. For this time, we honor you and we bless your holy name. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for these, your people. We thank you for all the visitors this morning, Lord God, as they come into the house of the Lord. Father, I pray for every individual that is still going through a certain trial or test in their life right now. Bring peace to their lives right now in the name of Jesus. Help them to understand what they're going through, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord God, if there's someone in this place that's looking for a church home that's filled with love and safety, let them recognize, Heavenly Father, that this may be the place for them. We honor you, Lord God, and we thank you. And Father, as we exit out of these particular doors, I pray that each and every one individual have a safe passage to their home and their dwelling places. May there be peace inside of their homes. May their relationships be reconciled. May their finances be whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. I've let you go. Oh, oh. I've let you go. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, Pastor Martin butchered that song, but I love you. Be blessed, people of God.